Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021, and the time now is 10:30 a.m. I now call this public meeting of the Texas Finance Commission Agency's 2022 budget to order. My name is Charles Cooper. I'm the Commissioner of the Texas Department of Banking. I also serve as the Executive Director of the Texas Finance Commission. This is the public hearing for the fiscal year 2022 proposed budgets for the three Finance Commission agencies, which are the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, and the Department of Banking. Joining me are Commissioners Pettijohn and Commissioner Jones. This morning, the Finance Commission agencies will present our fiscal year 2022 budgets. These budgets have been posted on the Finance Commission's website and on each agency's individual website. Each agency will be going over their budgets individually. If anyone wishes to make a comment or ask a question, you may do so at the conclusion of each agency's presentation by using the raise your hand feature on your screen. So the first agency this morning to present their budget will be the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. First of all, I'd like to say welcome to all of those on the webinar, and thank you for attending our budget hearing today. For the record, my name is Leslie Pettijohn, Consumer Credit Commissioner, and with me today presenting the budget for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner will be Moran Diamond, the Director of Licensing and Finance for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'd like to open with a few remarks related to the process with which we develop our budgets. It's very important as self-directed, semi-independent agencies that we take a very, as with all agencies, but take a very, very careful review of our budget process and of our historical information and our projections going forward. This is a very collaborative process for our organization. And we have, as with most of the others as well, but all of our departments and directors become involved and they submit their particular budget request. And along with beside those, they develop their corresponding performance targets. Then the accounting department will take those requests and compile them, evaluate them against our particular expenditure trends and any particular special requests that are incorporated. Then we will refine all of the budget data and trim that a bit. And there's quite a bit of trimming that goes on as we try to formulate what we believe is the best proposal to bring forward to the Finance Commission and to our stakeholders for the particular revenues and expenses that we anticipate for the fiscal year 2022. We post that document, as Commissioner Cooper mentioned, on the website, and we distribute it to our stakeholders and seek feedback on that particular document. We're certainly happy to stand for questions on that, and we want to make this verbal presentation today regarding that particular document. We have already received one comment letter in support, which will be submitted for the record, and that letter was from the Texas Consumer Finance Association. I've informally heard that we will be expecting a few more letters of support, and those will also be submitted for the record. We are certainly grateful for the feedback and support of our FY22 budget, and again, are happy to entertain any questions and discussions and conversation on the proposals presented. With that, I will launch into the details of the presentation, and I'll give a bit of an overview on some items and then turn to Moran Diamond for some detail. First of all, the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner is respectfully presenting its proposed budget of $8,351,044 for fiscal year 22. This budget request is for 80 full-time equivalent employees, which is a decrease of 2 FTEs from FY21, budgeted FTEs. The proposed budget reflects a decrease in revenue from the proposed budget of fiscal year 21, 6.7%, because of some enhanced discounts that are planned for fiscal year 22. The expenditures in the proposed budget are decreasing by 5.6% from the budgeted expenditures for fiscal year 21. These adjustments are largely due to COVID-19 and how it has impacted our financial position throughout fiscal year 21, primarily because we had budgeted some expectations to return to a more regular routine work and field examination schedule, which did not result. Consequently, we have some significant hangover effects from COVID in fiscal year 21. Fiscal year 22 will, in many ways, we hope, be a year of rebuilding for our organization. The dynamic nature of the current situation makes projections especially challenging for the upcoming fiscal year. However, our key budget drivers for the proposed fiscal year 21 budget continue to be changes in our industry markets, staffing stability and retention, examination travel requirements, and our information technology and cybersecurity needs. I'm going to speak for a moment on our projections related to our industry markets. Although fiscal year 21, the budget that we projected in fiscal year 21 projected some drop-off in industry groups due to COVID and some of the economic factors. Last year, we thought we were going to see some decline in those areas. That did not materialize. There were not decreases in our licensing and registration total numbers in the last year. So for fiscal year 22, we maintain a stable volume of our incoming business license applications and a fairly consistent pattern of our license renewal for business licensees. We see a stable pattern for the upcoming period. Throughout this pandemic, we have worked to revamp our work processes for every area, including examinations, to enable more effective remote processing. And during fiscal year 21, the OCCC experienced some turnover in various positions, not unlike many other agencies and employers. We found it very difficult to bring on new employees during the height of the pandemic, and so we left many positions unfilled during the past year. We are now in the phase to hire and replace staff members, but recognize that we need to proceed at a measured pace. It will probably take us most of FY22 and probably into FY23 to rebuild our bench strength. We have to have several classes of examiners. We have to pace through those at some type of measured pace. We have also, though, restructured areas to gain efficiencies. And so, as I mentioned previously, consequently, the budget proposal would eliminate two budgeted positions for the FY22 year, but would also stage the replacement of the vacant positions that we currently have. Additionally, this proposal contains funding for the progression of our examination staff along the career ladder and maintains that funding. As for travel expenses in FY21, the OCCC anticipated a full return to field examinations in March of 2021. And unfortunately, due to continuing impacts of the pandemic, that plan had to be deferred. Exams continued throughout fiscal year 21 on a remote and a hybrid basis, so there was some limited field work occurring. That's a lengthier process and not as for some entities is not as effective as an examination. So the FY22 travel budget anticipates a full return to field examinations effective September 1st. We've been messaging that return and as of today still plan to continue that. Modeling on the proposed budget supports a performance target of 3,000 compliance examinations, which is up about 20% from the examinations conducted for fiscal year 21. So those are the high-level overviews that are driving our budget. At this point, I'd like to call upon Moran Diamond, Director of Licensing and Finance, to continue with some more detailed presentations from our proposed budget.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning. Moran Diamond, Director of Licensing and Finance at the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'm going to start with staffing today. The proposed budget for fiscal year 22 includes a decrease of 8% in employee compensation, as some positions have been restructured to gain efficiencies, and the agency works to adjust optimum levels of staffing to meet regulatory business needs. The staffing budget does include progression of examiners on the career ladder, as the commissioner mentioned, as well as competitive salary actions, promotions, and raises. Moving to other personnel costs, this category has an increase of 70% primarily due to a reorganization of categories for uniform finance commission financial statement presentation, but also includes a projection of potential lump sum payments due to employees departing from the agency. This projection is based upon a three-year historical average of expenditures for an amount of $52,000. Moving to information technology, the proposed budget includes a 31% increase from fiscal year 21, as IT services have been shifted from professional fees to information technology for a consistent financial statement presentation. Again, IT services is increasing $240,000, which is due to three primary projects. First, upgrading the agency's website platform, which is nearing its end of life cycle. Second, planned projects for the online regulatory platform, which include changes to implement new legislation pertaining to crafted precious metals dealers. And third, other managed security services, to include a new project for cloud-based backup and recovery services. Further key items in the expenditure budget include travel expenditures. We do project a 9% increase as the agency plans to increase travel after COVID-19. Of the examinations conducted in FY21, most were limited to the metropolitan areas due to travel restrictions. The risk assessment methodology for examinations has identified a priority for many examinations across the state outside the metro areas due to the factor related to the increasing time between examinations. Thus, travel expenses will need to increase in fiscal year 22 to address this examination priority. With regard to professional fees, this includes a decrease of 78%, mostly due to, again, a shift of services, of IT services from professional fees to IT, but also includes a decrease of $19,000 for accounting services, partially due to lower anticipated payments to Garza Gonzalez for accounting services in fiscal year 22, because the fiscal year 22 cycle indicates one audit for the OCCC instead of two, which occurred in fiscal year 21. Legal fees decreased by $57,000 as well due to anticipated expenses to the State Office of Administrative Hearings and the Office of the Attorney General not occurring historically. Finally, on the expenditure front, with regard to miscellaneous operating expenses, this does include a decrease of 15%, mostly due to deferred maintenance, decrease of $10,000, and a decrease in projections for temporary staffing services of $32,000. We want to talk a little bit about the fund balance. Similar to fiscal year 21, the budget proposes a deficit of revenues over expenditures with an intentional effect of funding some of the budget from the agency's reserves. The agency anticipates about 7 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of this fiscal year 21. Unfortunately, it was very difficult to project our fiscal year 21 with great accuracy during the pandemic, as I'm sure we all encountered to some extent. The amount of liquidity is higher than anticipated because of the inability to replace staff during the pandemic, as the commissioner mentioned. While we are sensitive to the need to manage the fund balance, we are also concerned about the effects of spikes and assessments in future years, and hope to smooth the swings in fund balance and assessments. In fiscal year 22, we project that the ending fund balance will also be about 7 months of liquidity, but that the amount will fall below 6 months in fiscal year 23. We will explore opportunities to enhance the discounts as conditions warrant and evaluate those opportunities for deeper discounts at the appropriate time, which would decrease the fund balance. Finally, a little bit on the effect on the industries. In developing and proposing this budget, we have considered each industry's fair share of fees and have correlated discounts with that analysis. The agency has seen high rates of retention in almost all industry groups, and again, will look to enhance discounts in those areas when viable and appropriate. The agency is mindful not to have sharp swings in discounts in order to allow industry groups to plan for renewal costs. This proposed budget does anticipate deeper discounts than fiscal year 21 from the maximum assessment rates for motor vehicle sales finance licenses, pawn shop licenses, and regulated lender licenses. For example, in fiscal year 21, motor vehicle sales finance licenses got a 20% discount. In fiscal year 22, we anticipate a discount upwards of 30%. Additionally, regulated lenders received a discount of 35% in fiscal year 21, and we do anticipate in fiscal year 22 a discount of 40%. That concludes my explanation and remarks, and I will turn it back to Commissioner Pettyjohn.
Thank you very much for that detailed explanation. Again, we appreciate the opportunity to present this budget. We welcome feedback and appreciate the past support we've had of our budgets, and look forward to working with the stakeholders and the Finance Commission to move forward in fiscal year 22. Commissioner Cooper, I have to know if we have anybody that wishes to comment.
Yeah, if anybody wishes to make a comment or to ask a question about the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's budget, please do so now by using the raise your hand feature on your screen.
We have no comment.
Okay, we show no comments now. If you're out there and you have a comment, we will ask again later at the conclusion if anybody has further comments or questions. We will now hear from the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. I'm Caroline Jones, Commissioner of the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. Antonia Antoff, Director of Operations, will present the detail of the budget. But first, I'd like to make a few general comments about how we approached the budget for fiscal year 2022 and some of our objectives and fundamentals. First of all, was being good stewards of our financial resources, recognizing that our SDSI status is a privilege, and as a self-leveling, self-funding agency, having each regulated industry, mortgage and thrift, each must support itself fully. Both of those industries have grown tremendously over the last year. We propose a budget that provides the department the opportunity to add staff to address the industry's growth and how we respond to it. In analyzing the proposed budget, we determined what resources are needed not only to keep up with that growth and to grow ourselves, but also to continue to work on improving customer service. The budget also provides for an increase in IT expenditures, so that SML can continue staying up to date in this very important and ever-changing space. Those analyses then determined what level of assessments and fees we will need in order to be equitable to each industry and have them each support themselves under regulation. Those are the general objectives that we had when drafting the budget, and the budget does achieve those objectives. I want to acknowledge the work that goes into preparing the budget. It is a team effort led by Antonia. Each of the directors of the divisions have input and commentary on an analysis on what their division will need. Antonia takes those pieces and puts them together, continuing to work with the directors and any other staff that we need to bring into the process. She and I work and have a series of meetings in which we discuss the specifics of the budget until we arrive at a whole that we are comfortable with and feel that is appropriate for the coming year. We do have letters of support from Independent Bankers Association of Texas, Texas Bankers Association, and Texas Mortgage Bankers Association. So with that, I do want to thank all the staff at SML who worked on this budget, and Antonia in particular, and I'll call on Antonia to present the specifics.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. For the record, Antonia Antoff, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. The budget development process we followed according to our policy resulted in a proposed budget which takes into account the agency's vision, mission, short and long-term goals, includes budget decisions targeting specific results and outcomes, provides incentives to employees, promotes wellness and development, and includes input from the entire management team and other staff as needed. Overall, the proposed budget for fiscal year 22 provides for 7.2% increase in revenues and 3.7% increase of expenditures compared to the budget approved for fiscal year 2021. The proposed staff count for fiscal year 22 is 70, 3 more than approved in the previous year. The licensing revenues are budgeted at 10.7% higher than the prior year budget due to significant increase in our individual RMLO licensing activity, that is residential mortgage loan originator. We have seen consistent increase in license and registration applications from approximately 550 per month during fiscal year 19 to 900 per month in fiscal year 20 to over 1500 a month in fiscal year 21. We expect the trend will continue in fiscal year 22. On March 1, 2021, in order to address the excess funds the department generated as a result of this high volume of license activity, the fee for a new RMLO license was reduced from $140 to $25. The reduction assisted us to remain compliant with the self-leveling, self-funding statutory requirements and the requirements of the Finance Commission's liquidity policy. In fiscal year 22, in order to charge a fair and equitable level of fees and to provide the benefit of excess revenues to the renewing licensees, we are proposing an increase to the individual new RMLO license fee from $25 to $50 and reducing the renewal license fee from $50 to $40. The other types of license and registration fees will remain unchanged. The proposed changes will, in effect, refund some of the generated excess to the industry and assist the department in collecting only the amount of mortgage revenues sufficient to cover the total cost of the industry, like industry's regulation. For thrift revenues, we are budgeting to collect 5.5% more than budgeted in prior year as a result of growth in the industry. In fiscal year 22, we have budgeted to collect $3.98 million in assessments based on the lower of risk-weighted or total assets and assessed at 60% of our approved maximum rates. The assessments will be collected throughout the year in 4 equal installments. The collected thrift revenues will be sufficient to cover the total cost of this industry's regulation. As every year in for fiscal year 22, we have budgeted $0 for penalties so that no part of our operating budget hinges on the amount of assessed and collected penalties. For miscellaneous revenues, we are budgeting for a decrease. The biggest portion of this category represents the depository interest we receive from Texas Safekeeping Trust, where all of our funds are held and typically invested overnight in repurchase agreements. During fiscal year 22, the interest rates have been very low, and the same trend is expected to continue. As a result, we have budgeted for the decrease in the amounts received to be received in fiscal year 22. Now, turning over to the expenditures. Our personnel costs represent 89.7% of our total budget, and it's
2.9% higher than the budget approved for fiscal year 21. The increase is due primarily to adding net of 3 new positions to the department. We're adding funding for 7 new positions and reducing the positions for the thrift division with 4. The newly added positions are as follows: 2 license and permit specialists, 1 mortgage examiner, 1 administrative assistant in the complaints division, 1 thrift attorney, 1 system support specialist, and 1 purchaser. The reduction of positions in the thrift examination section comes as a result of reevaluating the staffing needs of our large financial institution program and applies to only 5 vacant positions. The budget provides for merit increases, promotions, and equity adjustments for multiple employees in an effort to reward good performers, remain competitive with state and federal counterparts, and encourage staff retention. The stability of our staff benefits the industry in both retained knowledge of departmental statutes, rules, and procedures, and also of specific regulated entities and their management. We're budgeting for a decrease of 8.9% for travel expenditures in the prior year's budget. Based on our estimates, when in-state travel resumes, it will not be at the pre-COVID levels. We have also reduced our estimates for out-of-state travel because we're making the assumption that some of the events our staff attends out-of-state, like conferences and seminars, will continue to be held virtually. The amount budgeted for professional fees and services is 20% lower than prior year's budget. In fiscal year 21, we had budgeted for consulting fee related to CAPS implementation, as well as professional fees for the sunset review follow-up the department was scheduled to go through. Those amounts were not utilized in fiscal year 21, and we're not including any similar amounts in the budget for fiscal year 22. We have budgeted for a nominal increase of 5% in the office utilities. The budget amount for fiscal year 22 for rent is 10% lower due to lower amounts for fees paid to the Texas State Library and Archives Commission for storage of hard copy records. The paper records we had there were digitized and disposed. The department has transitioned to electronic records and no longer has the need to store paper records there. Amounts for communication expenses are budgeted at 12.5% lower than the prior year. We have budgeted lower expenditures for WebEx, which is currently our video conferencing platform. Due to a planned transition to Office 365, we will begin utilization of Microsoft Teams for video conferencing. We have not budgeted any amounts for Telecon, which is an information service only used during legislative sessions. The information technology costs are significantly higher than the budgeted for last year. Fiscal year 22 budget includes amounts for a one-time cybersecurity project, scheduled replacement of all mortgage examiner laptops, the monthly fees for Office 365, as well as the monthly fees to the Department of Information Resources Data Center for housing and maintaining our network. The department's miscellaneous operating expenditures have been budgeted at 3.4%, or just under $5,000 lower than last year. The decrease is due to lower budgeted amounts for postage, fees paid to Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust, and fees paid to Texas.gov for electronic payments from licensees. In conclusion, at the end of fiscal year 22, we are budgeting for a deficit of approximately $471,000 that will be covered by existing cash reserves. And these are all of my remarks. Now I'm turning it over to Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Antonia. Commissioner Cooper, we'd be glad to answer any questions at this point.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. If there's anyone that wishes to ask a question or make a comment about the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending budget, please do so now by using the raise your hand feature on your screen.
We have one.
Okay, we have one. Can you open the when you come on, please state your name and who you're representing.
Mr. Ives, please unmute and you may make a comment. Everett Ives.
Are you able to hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I apologize. I don't know what happened there. Antonia, I didn't hear your explanation for how you're covering the negative $690,000 for this year and $470,000 for 22. Could you be a little bit more specific how you're covering just over $1 million in negative shortfall?
Mr. Ives, would you please state your name for the record?
Everett Ives. I apologize. Apparently my microphone wasn't working when I originally stated it.
That's quite all right. Do you represent yourself or a company?
The Association of Texas Mortgage Professionals.
Okay, thank you.
Can I go ahead?
Yes.
The $690,000 deficit budgeted for 2021 was only budgeted. In reality, we will end the year with excess. But currently we have approximately over $4 million in reserves. So those deficits are usually planned to be covered by existing cash reserves in order to stay under the policy of 6 months of budgeted expenditures.
Got it. You're comfortable that you have enough reserves in order to bleed off a little over $1 million?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ives. Are there any other questions?
No other questions.
Okay. Now we'll turn to, do you have any questions?
No, Commissioner, we have concludes our presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, now we'll turn to the Department of Banking, and again, I'm Charles Cooper, the Commissioner. I'd like to echo the comments, the opening comments made by Commissioners Pettijohn and Jones. You know, we are living in unusual times. We're very fortunate to be in Texas. Our economy continues to grow. And as mentioned earlier, the budget process is very important to state agencies. But we also believe since we have the SDSI status for our three agencies, that it is particularly important to us as agencies and also to the Finance Commission that oversees our budget. And so we pay particular attention to trying to do things right. For the Department of Banking, the largest portion of our budget is devoted to our state chartered banks. These entities continue to grow and expand, and as does our non-depository side, which the primary piece of the non-depository side are the money service businesses that we regulate. So as our regulated entities continue to expand, our budget has been adjusted to try to respond to this growth. And I will give you an example. As everyone knows, cybersecurity continues to be more important to all of our regulated entities, as it does all of our consumers. And we are adjusting our budget to show increased focus on that activity as an example. So to get into detail, I'd like to ask our CFO, Sammy Chadley, to present the details on our budget. Sammy?
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. In our budget preparation process, each divisional area was tasked with creating their budget using historical, current, and forecast information, and incorporating the strategic planning initiatives and agency priorities developed for fiscal year 2022. Cost centers for each industry were reviewed to make sure each industry is covering its related costs. Our proposed 2022 budget shows an increase of 4.91% over 2021. The largest increase is in personnel costs with 4 new examiners, including 1 IT specialist. In our continued effort to bring our examiner-related salaries to at least 95% of the FDIC peers, we are proposing a merit-based equity adjustment of generally 3.5% to financial examiners 5 and above and related supervisors. The proposed 2022 budget also includes one-time expenses to upgrade our internal IT network and infrastructure. If we exclude salary increases, the proposed 2022 budget would have increased by only 1.97% as compared to 2021. The biggest driver of the budget increase is the increase in bank assets under supervision. This proposed budget also includes the potential conversion of a large bank at approximately $40 billion in assets. We believe that with this budget increase, we can continue to fulfill our responsibilities. You will notice that our 2021 estimated expenditures are approximately $4 million below our budgeted expenditures. This is due to unfilled vacancies, including retirements, lower travel and training expenditures due to the pandemic, professional service fees that did not materialize, and planned information technology items that came in cheaper than anticipated or did not occur. This proposed budget is based on the department conducting 844 examinations, processing 324 applications, notices, and filings, and resolving 225 complaints. Our 2022 budget has revenues projected at $31.3 million, which does not include $8.7 million in bank assessments that are not expected to be assessed to operate the department. These assessment reductions will allow the agency to cover expected expenditures of $31.3 million with no additional contribution to our cash balance for FY 2022. Next, I'm going to go over revenues. Our assessments are approximately 90% of our revenues at around $26 million. Our revenue projections include the following. Bank asset growth of approximately 22.2%, which increased assessments by $5.2 million, and anticipated conversion of the large bank that I mentioned earlier, and as well as growth and merger activity. The projections also include a normal level of problem banks. Our corporate activity increased almost 47% from previous year due to an increase in projected bank and MSB application activities. And finally, we have a revenue decrease for our non-depository supervision area due to lower salary projections and associated benefits. In our budget review process, in accordance with TAG 3.36E, we have determined that our current assessments for the bank and trust area will cover this budget request. The next section is expenditures. Our personnel costs are our major expenditure category and accounts for most of the budget increase. The 2022 proposed budget includes 27 vacancies that are staggered and filled throughout the fiscal year. As mentioned, we have 4 additional FTEs in 2022, so we went from 198 to 202. Those 4 additional FTEs are related to the large bank conversion. The budget proposed an average overall compensation increase of 3.8%. When we add benefits to that, it's 4.05%. which leaves all other categories a 0.87% increase from 21 to 22. The other personnel costs are estimated to be 27.2 million, including benefits, and they account for 87% of the proposed budget request. The other personnel cost line items include lump sum payments for tenured employees, longevity, return to work retiree surcharges, and benefit replacement pay. A projected 28.5% of salaries in this budget proposal was used for benefits, and then there's an additional 1.5% mandated by the legislature for healthcare and retirement contributions. So overall benefits are at 30%. We believe these increases are necessary to retain qualified staff, remain competitive, will help postpone retirements while we continue to train our less tenured staff. And our less tenured staff further see that the DOB, that the Department of Banking, can be a lifelong career choice. The next item we're going to discuss, our cash position. This year, we did not utilize $6.9 million in available bank and trust assessments and $895,000 in non-depository supervision assessments, as we continuously manage our cash balance growth for compliance with the liquidity policy guidelines. Our anticipated unreserved cash balance at fiscal year end 2021 is estimated to be approximately $7.8 million, or roughly 3 months of the 2022 budget. And that keeps us within the 2 to 6 month policy guideline. In conclusion, with this budget, the agency can carry out its mission, meet performance standards, maintain a competitive salary structure, and meet our standards of service. I'd like to thank the commissioner for his guidance and Wendy Rodriguez and Krishna Jones for helping me with this budget process for 2022.
Thank you, Sammy. We also have letters of support from the Independent Bankers Association of Texas and the Texas Bankers Association. These letters will be made part of the record. I would now like to ask anyone that has a question or comment about the budget for the Texas Department of Banking, if you will do so by using the raise your hand feature on your screen.
We have no questions.
No questions. Okay. I want to thank all of y'all for joining in today. The Commissioner Pettijohn and Jones and I both appreciate your attention. We appreciate the work that our staffs have done on this budget. We will be presenting it to the Finance Commission next week at our regularly scheduled meeting. I'm going to ask one more time if there are any comments or questions for any of the agencies.
We have no questions at this time.
Okay, we have no questions or comments. So again, we appreciate your attendance. This concludes our presentation of the budgets of the three Finance Commission agencies. And the budget hearing is now concluded. Time now is 11:12 a.m. Thank you.